We're on. Thank you. This is June 25, 2024, and this is the second hearing on the Thurston County Land Use Hearing Calendar today. Again, I'm Sharon Rice, the county's hearing examiner, and we are considering project numbers 2022-104-252 and 2021-106-227. These are requests for preliminary plat and reasonable use exception associated with a project known as the Enclave at Deschutes River. The property subject to the application has an address of 8940 Old Highway 99 Southeast in unincorporated Thurston County, Olympia, Washington. I think for the benefit of the record, everybody in the meeting right now has heard my opening remarks multiple times. Let me just note that I will, of course, ask you to keep your audio muted when you're not testifying. I will ask Ms. Katie to help me make sure the recording is audible. Remind the applicant you have the burden of proof and that the record will be held open at the end of the hearing for 2 business days to allow for post-hearing written public comment from people who had technology problems, and that if we receive any such post-hearing public comment, staff and the applicants will have a chance to respond. And with that, I'm going to identify the documents I was provided in this matter so that I could be prepared to conduct an efficient proceeding. At Exhibit 1, we have the staff report to the hearing examiner, and attached to it, spelled out in detail on the last couple of pages of the staff report, starting page 25, are attachments A through Z and then AA through QQ. I did receive and review those documents, and they are admitted. I don't believe I had any other pre-hearing documents offered. I will note for the record that the attachment to the staff report that was the preliminary plat map was illegible. And so before the hearing, I asked Ms. Katie to get me a legible version of attachment J, and she did. So I was able to look at a legible version of the plat map, which is helpful. So with that, let's have county staff, please go ahead, unmute, state and spell your name, give us your job title, and allow me to swear you in.
Heather Tchaikovsky, H-E-A-T-H-E-R-T-S-C-H-A-E-K-O-F-S-K-E. I'm an associate planner and biologist with community planning.
Thank you very much. Can I swear you in, please? Do you swear or affirm your testimony today will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you. I'm ready for your presentation.
This is for projects 2022-104-252 and 2021-106-227, permit for preliminary plat, forest conversion, and reasonable use exception. The applicant is Evergreen Heights LLC. The applicant requests approval for a preliminary plat of the enclave at Deschutes River, a planned subdivision of 24.56 acres into 25 single-family residential lots. Attachments C, D, E, F, I, J, K, L, M, Q, R, and P, P. The subdivision will provide for 16.04 acres of open space, representing 65.3% of the gross site area. The open space will serve a variety of purposes, including preservation of critical areas, pedestrian access to the Deschutes River for aquatic recreation, field sports within the open area adjacent to the riverfront, stormwater management, and landscaping. The property is split zoned open space and single family low density residential within the Tumwater urban growth area. The parcel contains mapped conservancy shoreline, flood zone, wetland, and landslide hazard areas. The forest practices associated with proposed subdivision will harvest 10 acres of timber outside of critical areas and shoreline jurisdiction. A reasonable use exception, or RUE permit, is proposed for the existing accessory shed that would be located on proposed lot 25. Attachments G, U, and B. This existing shed is within the Type S stream riparian habitat area, as well as within a landslide hazard area buffer. and was constructed by a prior owner without benefit of permit. The other existing structures on site are either planned for removal, are permitted and shall remain, or have permits in for review and are outside of delineated critical areas and shorelines. Specifically, the detached garage on lot 11 and residence located on lot 24 and shed located on lot 25 will remain on site. The residence located on lot 12 and the greenhouse on lot 10 will be removed. All lots will be served by a new public street, and City of Tumwater sewer and water will be extended to each lot. The 24.56 acre site is situated partially alongside Old Highway 99 southeast and west of the Deschutes River. The site is currently developed with several residential structures in the portion zoned SFL, which slopes steeply down to the large open floodplain along the eastern portion of the property zoned OS. Access to the site is provided by public roadway. Per Thurston County Platting and Subdivision Ordinance, Thurston County Code, or TCC 18.04.045, the subject lot is a legal lot created through an approved short subdivision, SS-1353, recorded in 1979. Attachment W. The property is partially forested with open grassy lowlands within the Deschutes River floodplain. There are wetlands east of the proposed plat development area within the lower elevation area of the property designated as floodplain for the Deschutes River. EnviroVector Consulting completed a critical area delineation report and Mazama Pocket Gopher and Prairie Surveys, attachments MM, NN, and OO. And the critical areas have been survey located and the appropriate buffers depicted on the preliminary plat map. All surrounding properties are within either the Tumwater Urban Growth Area or Tumwater City limits. Surrounding zoning consists of light industrial, single family low density, multifamily medium density, and open space. Attachment B. RUE application was submitted on November 17, 2021. Attachments C and G, and the preliminary plat, forest conversion and environmental checklists were submitted on August 19 and August 29, 2022. Attachments C, D, E, and F. Prior preliminary plat and associated applications were received on December 16, 2019, but were superseded by the more recent submittals to utilize updated SFL zoning jurisdiction. Several attachments from the initial 2019 plat review are included within the record as they are still necessary and pertinent to the current review. A critical area review permit was submitted on November 19, 2019 for initial review of critical areas. Attachment H, a critical area review permit approval was issued on June 5, 2024. Attachment DD. Written notice of the applications were sent to all property owners within 300 feet of the site on January 14, 2022 and October 7, 2022. Attachment S. Notice of the public hearing was published in the Olympian and was sent to all property owners within 300 feet of the site and to others who had requested notice on June 14, 2024, at least 10 days prior to the hearing. Attachment A. A mitigated determination of non-significance was issued on April 26, 2024. Attachment LL. The environmental determination became final on May 17, 2024. The proposed preliminary plat development is confined to the site area zoned SFL within the Tumwater UGA. The proposed use of the lots within the subdivision is for single-family detached dwellings, which the SFL zone permits per TCC 22.10.020A. The portion of the property zoned OS is intended for the preservation of open space generally associated with the Deschutes River floodplain for TCC 22.31 and the Tumwater Joint Plan. For TCC 22.31020, residences existing prior to the effective date of this title are of permitted use, thus the existing home built in 1978 on future lot 24 is permitted. The SFL zoning district requires a minimum density of 4 units per acre, TCC 22.10.050, and a maximum density of 7 units per acre. The proposed density of this project is 4.7 dwelling units per acre. The smallest lot within the plat is 6,300 square feet, and there are no lots with a lot width less than 50 feet for the lot width definition of TCC 22.04.355. The proposed lot sizes and dimensions of this project comply with requirements of the SFL zone. At the time of building permit application, Thurston County staff will review the individual building permit applications to ensure all yard setbacks are met. All proposed development associated with the preliminary plat and forest conversion is outside all mapped critical areas on or adjacent to the subject parcel. The existing shed within the landslide hazard area buffer area and riparian areas shall be reviewed under RUE criteria. A geotechnical report and additional analysis were prepared by Insight Geologic and by the Land Developers Engineered Solutions in support of the proposed and current development, confirming site development will meet geotechnical safety standards, attachments M, N, and O. No development is proposed within the flood zones on the subject property. Final plat map shall require additional FEMA flood elevation datum information per Thurston County Flood Review. The applicant submitted critical area reports that provide on-site assessment and evaluation of the critical areas in accordance with Thurston County Critical Areas Ordinance, and a critical area review permit was issued for applicable administrative review. Attachments O, D, D, M, M, N, N, and O. The applicant's property is located within the jurisdiction of the Shoreline Master Program for the Thurston Region, or SMPTR, and is within the Conservancy Shoreline Environment. Single-family development is permitted subject to compliance with policies and regulations of the Residential Development Chapter of the SMPTR. Within the MAP Shoreline jurisdiction, there are only two lots proposed and one is already developed. The proposal meets the above standards, and per Department of Ecology Communication, attachment JJ, no additional shoreline permit is needed for the proposed plat. Within the Tumwater Urban Growth Area, the minimum usable open space park area dedicated for residential subdivisions shall be 10% of the total gross site area. As proposed and conditioned, staff believes the proposed plat is in compliance with open space requirements in general, TCC 18.47.040C. However, the submitted open space totals appear to exceed the 50% allowance of open space dedication limited to critical areas and tree tracts for the gross site area. The applicant submitted their interpretation of the above open space standards and how the current proposal would meet their alternative interpretation. Attachment Z. The proposal is exempt from design review as well as landscaping standards for TCC 22.43 and 22.47. However, staff recommends a condition of approval for the applicant to install at minimum a 6-foot tall fence along the western property lines adjacent to lots 1 through 7 and the northern property lines adjacent to lots 8 through 11 to reduce the potential for use conflicts with proposed residential development and to meet the industrial zoning district buffer standards. The project site is forested within the upland areas and partially forested near the Deschutes River. Only the buildable areas will be cleared on the western portion of the parcel. Tree preservation areas are within Tract C open space tract in lots 24 and 25. As proposed and conditioned, the proposed plat is in compliance with the standards of Forest Lands Conversion Ordinance, TCC 17.25. A cultural resources assessment for the proposed plat was submitted to the Department of Archaeology and Historic Preservation, as well as local tribes, and was accepted. TCC 18.12.090 requires that findings be made in order to approve a preliminary plat, demonstrating appropriate provisions are made for public health, safety, and general welfare. The Public Works Department requirements satisfy stormwater, stream, streets, traffic safety, and road provisions for this urban area plat. Attachments K, M, and Y. Traffic impact worksheet was completed, and the proposed plat is anticipated to be a mild generator of traffic based on the proposed 25 lots. Traffic impact fees will be due at the time of building permit submittal. The plat was reviewed by the Environmental Health Department, Attachment AA, and must comply with the health code, thereby assuring adequate provisions for domestic water supply and sanitary waste disposal. The project will extend City of Tumwater sanitary sewer and water to serve the lots. Transit services available within the vicinity, and school children will be bused to Tumwater School District sites if within designated distance requirements. As a condition of final approval, this project shall be required to construct a bus stop per Tumwater School District standards. The open space tracts provide for storm water management, landscape screening, recreation, and critical area protections. Impact fees will provide for additional parks and recreation opportunities and will ensure that adequate school facilities are available. All findings can be met for the public health, safety, and general welfare. The proposed plat, in conjunction with the recommended conditions, is in compliance with RCW 58.17.110. An RUE permit is proposed for the existing accessory shed that would be located on the proposed residential lot 25. As the property is zoned for residential use, the type of use proposed is consistent with zoning. For the applicant, the impacted landslide hazard buffer represents 204 square feet, and the impact to the riparian buffer is isolated to the outer half of the standard 250-foot buffer. TCC 24.25.035B allows for riparian buffer modifications in the outer 120 feet of the standard buffer. Applicant proposes to utilize the accessory structure on the proposed residential lot 25 without creating further disturbance in the critical area beyond the existing footprint. Per TCC 24.25.035, the riparian habitat area is reconfigured. The minimum width allowance is 100 feet, which the current structure is meeting. The area of buffer reduction is already within an existing and ongoing residential use area that is regularly mowed lawn under the mature tree canopy. Removal and/or moving the existing structure creates additional new impacts that would require separate restoration actions to remedy. As proposed in condition, staff does not believe the activity will result in damage to other properties and should not threaten the health, safety, or welfare on or off the site. There should be no net loss of critical area functions and values. If the proposed revegetation and stormwater plans are implemented, the guidelines and recommendations are followed per geotechnical report, stormwater drainage plan, and critical area mitigation plan. Attachments MNO and MM. The proposed mitigation plan includes a 22,856 square foot mitigation planting area of trees, shrubs, and understory species to offset the existing 4,500 square foot building that is fully encumbered by the 250 foot riparian habitat area and existing use areas. The planting will create a habitat corridor between wetlands B and C, adjacent to the Deschutes River, where the greatest habitat benefit may be gained in an area that is currently dominated by grassy fields. Mitigation provides for a 1-to-1 buffer impact ratio, which is required per TCC 24.30.080A. No impacts to species of concern are anticipated from the existing structure nor from the proposed future plat development. Staff from Public Health and Social Services Department recommends preliminary plat approval subject to conditions and has no objection to the RUE, attachment AA. Staff from Thurston Public Works Department has recommended preliminary plat approval with conditions, attachment Y. Department of Ecology submitted comment letter regarding the proposed plat and the CEPA review, attachment II. Tumwater School District submitted comments requesting a bus stop, attachment EE. City of Tumwater submitted a comment letter with listed conditions, attachment BB. Department of Archaeology and Historic Preservation submitted comment letters requesting a cultural resource survey, which is available upon hearing examiner request, and concurring with the results of the survey requesting placement of inadvertent discovery plan on site, attachment HH. The Squally Indian Tribe submitted comment letters regarding the proposed plat in concurrence with the Cultural Resource Survey, attachment FF. Squaxin Island Tribe submitted comment letters regarding proposed plat in concurrence with Cultural Resource Survey, attachment GG. Public comments were received from Capital Land Trust concerning protections for the critical areas on site, attachment KK. In general, most of the concerns have been addressed through the preliminary plat design process, which protects the entirety of the lowland area of subject property as open space. No new development is approved within the critical areas on site. With appropriate conditions, the proposed subdivision will conform to the requirements of the Thurston County Zoning Ordinance, Critical Areas Ordinance, Forest Practice Ordinance, and Platting and Subdivision Ordinance. As proposed in condition, the subdivision is consistent with Thurston County Tumwater Joint Comprehensive Plan for the Urban Growth Areas and the Thurston County Tumwater Urban Growth Area Zoning Ordinance. As such, Community Planning and Economic Development Department concludes that the proposed project, when appropriately conditioned, meets Thurston County requirements upon hearing examiner approval.
Thank you. I have some questions to help me make sure I understand the materials and also department's review. One question I have that I don't feel, I didn't see an answer to in the staff report, and I'm just curious why the critical area review was under review for so long. Was there an appeal or was there some delay? At attachment DD, there's some reference to an appeal, and I'm just curious. The date at attachment DD says corrected appeal.
Oh, that was a typo in the original letter that was sent out. The applicant caught that, so the appeal date on the letter was changed. There was no appeal.
Okay, and it just took, I mean, the application was submitted in 2019. It was a long review.
There were, as noted previously, there was an original preliminary plat submittal, and then the zoning changed for a section of the lot, and the applicant wanted to take advantage of the new zoning. And so then they were required to resubmit their plat application, and that critical area review was just sitting and waiting for that application to proceed. I can't offer any other information as to why previous planners were proceeding with the review timelines as they were.
Okay. And so it was just triggered by the reapplication under new zoning, and then staff turnover, multiple staff.
Yes.
Thank you. I want to make sure, and I'm not 100% sure I understand the department's point of view with regard to the difference of opinion on open space as it applies to the plat. Can you help me understand the department's interpretation of how the open space regulations apply to the proposal?
The open space provisions, if interpreted to the letter of the code, would appear to not be met with regard to the fact that there is more than 50% of open space being provided through critical areas on site. However, due to the unique nature of the critical areas on this site, being that it's a large open floodplain, which can be utilized for some of these alternative recreation opportunities, there appears to be some leeway within that interpretation. And the applicant did provide sort of a quantifiable interpretation of how they would view that open space provision.
And does the department, is the department abstaining from taking a position on the applicant's interpretation?
To some extent.
But what you've just said is that due to the fact that these critical areas include a large open floodplain that can be used for active recreation, that area could count as active recreation area and therefore could be count from your department's point of view, could meet the open space requirements.
That is where I see the flexibility in this particular situation, yes.
And does that interpretation require any development of that area or designation or demarcation of that area to be used as active open space, or can it just be left as is and dual purposed for both open space and active critical areas and active recreation?
It could be both, and I believe one of the conditions I added was for better clarification on how the open space areas would be used for the final plat submittal.
I noticed that too. Thank you.
We would not allow any additional structures or impervious surface to be placed into that area, so that is one of the limitations.
Got it. The mitigated determination of non-significance contains mitigation members measures that caution handling wood from buildings that are removed. Based on apparent belief that it could be hazardous. And I didn't see anything that explained that to me. Is there any backstory on that?
I'm gonna have to look at it, but I'm assuming that was coming from some comments we received from Orca.
Most likely. Is it just an asbestos concern, or is there some other potential contaminant concern? It specifically said the wood. This is
Huh.
why I was asking.
Need to, which attachment is the
I'm
MDNS?
looking right now, sorry.
It's LL.
Thank you. I only read the MDNS. I didn't look at any comments, so that's my bad.
Yeah, I think it, yeah, any reference to asbestos is going to be from the Orca or the ecology comment letter specifically, both of which were listed in the references. Let's take a look
I
at it.
see. Oh, now that I'm reading it again, it specifically says must be carefully managed, especially if it contains painted wood. So it's probably just lead paint that concern is about. Sorry, just wanting to know if I missed anything. Like, was it previously used for, creosote treating timber or something like that? Thanks. With respect to tree retention under the forest land conversion application, I figured out where the math came from. Attachment Q is the applicant's forest consultant letter. I just want to note for the record that this math saying there are approximately 300,000 square feet of lot area, which requires 75 new trees, and since they're being retained elsewhere, they don't have to plant any trees on the lots. I just want to note for the record and have conversation or testimony if necessary about the fact that I've rejected that interpretation in the past and that the forest land conversion ordinance expressly requires trees to be planted on the individual lots or retained within individual lots. I don't know if your department has anything to say about that.
I believe I added a condition that the trees would still need to be added to the lots.
Thanks. I want to note for the record at attachment Z, that is the applicant's open space narrative. It's a two-page PDF, and my page two is entirely blank. So I don't know if I'm missing information or if it's just the back of the page and there was nothing on it and it just got scanned that way. I can ask the applicant that as well. I just want to make sure I have everything the applicant said in that narrative.
I'll double check on that, but I think it's a single page.
Thanks. Ms. Tchaikovsky, I wondered if you had anything to add or that you would be willing to testify to today in response to the Capital Land Trust concerns. Their concern seems to be about historic use of the area adjacent to the river and that they feel like any development of this property should do more to restore and naturalize the river shoreline. I don't know if you have any response you can offer today to their comments.
I would say that the proposed mitigation plan is going to be accomplishing some of those objectives by getting a better riparian buffer area between those two wetland areas. As far as additional historic usage, I wouldn't be able to comment that on that. It looks like it's been in a single residential ownership for quite some time.
I'm going to ask the applicant also give them an opportunity to respond to the land trust comments as well. As I noted at the top, I did have trouble looking or understanding the information in attachment J that was initially attached online, which was the plat map, because it literally looked like it had been run through an ancient mimeograph machine, like it was completely illegible. But Ms. Katie did provide me with another map this morning, which I have used, and I'm hoping she will replace as attachment J in the record. It's perfectly legible. Your conditions note that development has to comply with plat map dated June 6. I don't see a date on the copy that I'm looking at, so I just want to make sure I have the right copy. I think she got this, Ms. Katie got this from you this morning, and I just want to confirm that the one you mailed to her this morning is the one that you mean the project to comply with in your condition.
Yeah, I'm going to double check, but if you look down by the surveyor stamp,
yep,
it has handwritten date.
Aha.
So hopefully that's the right one.
Thank you. I literally didn't recognize those letters, but now I can see that it says June 6, 2024. So thank
okay.
you. It's a specific question. I'm looking specifically for it. I can't make that. I'm sorry. All right. So turning to the reasonable use exception. Shed? Really? I think of a shed as the thing you buy at Home Depot that you like prefab and you put it together in your backyard. This is a very large shed.
Yes.
It's not clear. For one thing, I want to note your staff report states alternatively that it's 45 or 4,600 square feet in area, whereas the applicant's exhibit calls out 4,803 square feet for the structure. Does that size, if that's the accurate size, does that have any bearing on your analysis?
No.
Okay, thank you. It's not that clear to me how much of the shed is within the riparian buffer. There's some reference to in the text to it being 32 square feet of it being in the riparian buffer, but I think the mapping shows the whole thing.
Yes, it's okay. The entire thing.
Okay. Thank you for confirming that. Of course, I always ask about the criteria for approval because that's what I got to make findings addressing. And one of the criteria for RUE requires it to be the minimum necessary. And there's going to be a residence placed on the parcel in theory, assuming approval of the plat. 4,803 square foot shed, the minimum necessary. Can you speak to that at all? Do you have anything else to add regarding that criterion?
I think in this instance, it becomes a question of what has occurred by a previous landowner versus creating a new impact by potentially removing or moving this structure. Technically, yes, it could be moved outside of buffer. But again, this was placed by someone previous to the current owner. So I'm leaning into that to some extent. And I do think that there is a significant habitat benefit being achieved in closer proximity to the river with the proposed mitigation that potentially would not have occurred if we weren't even looking at this through the RUE process.
Thank you for that. I want to note for the purpose of exploring that question further that after the fact permission being granted for an unpermitted structure sort of acts as an invitation to others to build first and ask later. And so I'm always reluctant to rely on that to meet criteria because I don't think the code intends to create an invitation to build first and ask later. So I'm stating that. I don't know if you have a response to my statement.
As far as the CAO, there is some language with regard to damage being done by prior ownership or within, I think, 7-year time period. And I can pull up that code if I need to, but we do have some regulatory authority, and that's usually within the context of reducing buffers.
I would love that citation if you could look for it. And that was my last question for you, so that would be very helpful if you wanted to offer that.
Sure.
Thank you very much, Ms. Strykowski. Let me check in with other county staff members. Ms. Peebles, do you have any testimony you'd like to make for this application?
Not at this time, as Ms. Tchaikovsky noted, environmental health attachments and conditions.
Thank you. Mr. Saint, any public works testimony on this proposal that you'd like to make for the record?
No, I have nothing to add at this time.
I don't have specific questions for either of you. Thank you for being here in the event that we do need to have answers to questions in the future. So I will go to the applicant now. Ms. Tchaikovsky, you can give me that code citation later. Thank you so much. Let's hear from the applicants. Can I have the first witness, please? State and spell your name and give me your job title and allow me to swear you in.
My name is Jeff Pantier with Hatton Godat Pantier. I represent the applicant Evergreen Heights today, and with me to my left is Chloe McIntyre, the project engineer, also with HGP. And to her left is the applicant, Rob Rice, with Evergreen Heights LLC.
I'm making note of all that. One second, Evergreen Heights. I didn't notice until late in my review that this application was also proposed by Mr. Rice. I should state for the record, Rob Rice and I are not related and don't know each other outside of Thurston County land use hearings, just for the record. Mr. Pantier, why don't I swear all of you in at the same time, if you would? Do you swear or affirm that your testimony today will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
I do.
Thank you very much for that. Please go ahead, Mr.
Thank you. Wow, Heather, you did a super thorough job. This is a complex site with all of the various, these critical areas that overlap one another and all that. And good job for you to parcel all that out. I'm sure that was not an easy job. I just have a few things. I'm going to enter one exhibit into the record today that I didn't see in the list.
Wait a
So,
minute, only one?
yeah,
What?
I know. That's why I say Heather did such a great job. She didn't leave much for me to do. So, and that's okay. So, why don't we start with that? This project started, I should just state, we did start this back in 2019. And we spent some time with staff and Department of Ecology to define some of these critical areas related to the Oregon High Watermark of the river, wetlands. We spent some time on that. Then there was some staff turnover with the county that seemed to delay the review for quite some time. It did take us a long time to get here, but it wasn't because we weren't anxious to move it forward. It was just one thing or another that led to 2024, a 2024 hearing. So with that, Chloe, would you mind pulling up the civil plan? I didn't see any preliminary civil plans in the exhibit list. So if you can see that, can you see the screen?
Not yet. One
Oh.
second. Yeah. Are you offering the civil plan set as an exhibit, sir?
I am, and I'd like to include the landscape plan that's also attached to this as an exhibit.
That would be great. Let's make the civil plan set exhibit two. Is that right, Miss Katie? I think it is. Yes. Thank you.
And I'm just going to point out that when we initially designed this project back in 2019 and into 2020, it it looked pretty much like it does today. You know, the critical areas, the top of the slope, everything's pretty well defined, although we spent some time, you know, evaluating and working with DOE on some of the limits of the ordinary water mark. It didn't, none of that impacted the actual subdivision design. So what you're looking at here is the civil plan. And if you look closely, there probably is some very minor items that don't look exactly like the official preliminary plat that's dated June 6, 2024. But generally, you can see that there's an access road that comes in off of Old Highway 99, forms a T intersection at the northern terminus, and there's a short little private road that provides access to a few lots. So the layout's the same, but it's not precisely the same as the preliminary plat. The preliminary plat is the official layout. Okay, we're good with that. Just to recap the project, again, it's a 24.56 acre parcel, and the proposal is to divide this into 25 single family lots along with some open space community owned tracts. All of the construction and development will be located west of the most restrictive critical area boundary line, which is the 250-foot Deschutes River riparian boundary for the most part. So all of the development will be located outside those boundaries. Over 16 acres of open space will be provided. It does represent approximately 65% of the gross site area. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. And all the lots will be served by City of Tumwater sanitary sewer and water, with extensions from existing systems located in Old Highway 99, which fronts the property on the southwest side. Each lot would be accessed by a new public street, with the exception of lots 22, 23, 24, and 25, which will be accessed from the new private street designated as track D as a dog. Sidewalks will be installed along each side of the new public street and along the south side of track D, thus providing a safe walk route to the planned bus waiting area at Old Highway 99. And stormwater will be managed through water quality and infiltration systems according to the Thurston County Drainage Manual. I'm going to have Chloe speak to more of that here in just a moment. I don't have any edits. Our requested edits to the staff report. Again, I thought that was thorough, and I didn't see anything in there that warranted any modifications. So let's talk a little bit about open space. I did submit attachment Z, Zebra, that lays out our position on open space, and I think the code doesn't really consider this unique type of situation and site, okay? I think that this project does conform with the intent of the open space standards. And I will say that in that attachment Z, I did see a typo in the chapter I was trying to cite in the second line in that second paragraph, 18.47.04 paragraph C. That should be 040 paragraph C.
Got it.
And so I believe that the open space requirements of the code don't consider this unique site. I believe we conform with the intent of the code based on two main criteria or two main elements. One, tract A, which is a 15.26 acre open space parcel, it is encumbered with critical areas. There's floodplains, there's riparian buffers, there's even a couple or three small riverfront or river edge wetlands. There's a geologic or landslide hazard area because of the steep slope. So there's a lot going on in track C. But if we could pull up, and are we able to pull up that aerial photograph, Chloe?
Is this in the record, sir?
Do we have a rec? Do we have an exhibit for aerial photograph anywhere in there, Heather?
There's a screenshot, an aerial on the staff report. Is this?
Yeah, I think that's the only aerial within the report.
So this is just an enlarged version of the image that's shown on page 2 of the staff report, 2022 aerial image. So we're just zoomed in. So I bring some focus to the area outlined in red on the screen. And you can see that that area is an open grassy area, bounded by the river on the east and north side. It's bounded on the west by an active gravel mine, and then by some tree lines on the other boundaries for the most part. That open area has been used in the past as a both passive and active recreation area by the residents, the longtime residents of this property for many, many, many years. And we envision that the community, these 25 residents that would live in this community, would continue to use it much the same way that it has over the past 20 plus years. There's certainly all kinds of opportunities to have sporting activities with baseballs, soccer balls. There's all kinds of active recreation opportunities that can happen down in that area without disrupting the natural character of those critical areas. So we think that that use can harmonize with protection of the critical areas. And I would just point out the Shoreline Master Program encourages access, and if not encourages, requires waterfront access to the residents of a subdivision like this for, you know, fishing and recreating along those riverfront boundaries. And so this project will provide that access to the riverfront, and there's fishing and swimming opportunities that could exist down in the river. Again, those are recreational opportunities that the code encourages or not requires us to provide as part of any subdivision. So we believe we far exceed the open space requirements with just the use of tract C alone. Then, you know, the second element of this is that, you know, by requiring a dedication of open space that represents 5% of the non-critical area land area, has a flaw with it. I mean, I pointed out in my attachment Z how you could have a situation where you couldn't even conform with that. If you had a site that was 100 acres in size and the critical areas were 99 of those acres and the net acre was only 1 acre, but the total non-critical area open space would represent 5% of the non-critical areas, you couldn't even meet the criteria under that scenario. And we think that this is kind of bumping up against that type of analysis. So we think we conform with the code for both those reasons.
Can I confirm with you, Mr. Pantier, does your attachment Z, is there more language on the second page, or is it a single page document?
That's a single page document.
Thank you very much.
As was noted earlier, the project will generate less than 30 peak traffic trips, so a detailed study was not required or warranted. All of the critical areas have been studied. An IPMP will be developed and incorporated into the covenants for the project, and those covenants will be distributed to all the property owners, thereby protecting the aquifer recharge nature of the soil. There's no development activity planned within the geologic hazard area, nor the 100-year floodplain, nor the riparian habitat conservation area. The site was evaluated for Mazama pocket gophers, and no evidence was found associated with pocket gophers or prairie plants. The wetlands were assessed and buffers established on all three of the wetlands. Again, there's no development activity planned within any of those protected areas. And the shoreline jurisdiction, all the development activity will be located west of the shoreline management jurisdiction boundary. I don't disagree with the interpretation that as far as tree planting and preservation goes, that one tree per 4,000 square feet of lot area be provided or preserved. There is some opportunity to preserve some trees, maybe on the lots, but depends on how the site grading comes out. So we'll either preserve or plant one tree, as you noted earlier. Why don't we let Chloe speak a little bit to stormwater, and then I'll wrap up my comments when she's completed.
I will start with an overview of the soils on site. InSite Geologic conducted a geotechnical and stormwater evaluation with findings summarized in a report dated November 21st, 2019. They also conducted a winter groundwater monitoring analysis with results summarized in a report dated May 26th of 2020. The geotechnical investigation included the drilling of four borings, two within the vicinity of the proposed bioretention cell in the southern portion of the site in Tract A, and then two were on the bank of the Deschutes River, northeast of the proposed development. One groundwater monitoring well was installed within in each of those locations, the north and the south. A series of 12 test pits were also excavated to depths between 6 and 8 feet below existing grade. Soils encountered within the proposed development area generally consist of mixtures of silt and sand with gravel and cobbles, underlain by dense to very dense gravel and cobbles. Soil encountered on the riverbank consists of roughly 7 feet of silty sand underlain by dense to very dense coarse sand with gravel. Groundwater in the upland portion of the site ranged from 38.8 to 29.7 feet below grade during the 2019 to 2020 winter monitoring period. Groundwater in the lowland well ranged from 7.5 feet below grade to 1.2 feet above grade. A design infiltration rate of 8 inches per hour was recommended for the upland portion of the site based on separation to groundwater and grain size analysis. A rate of 9 inches per hour was used in the preliminary design prior to the updated recommendation based on groundwater. However, the preliminary design did not utilize the full area of Tract A, so there is sufficient room to still satisfy drainage manual requirements with the updated infiltration rate, and we can continue to infiltrate in that tract. The treatment system for this project, it's a single family residential subdivision, which proposes infiltration within a quarter mile of the Deschutes River, which is a fish bearing water body, and within the 5-year time of travel zone of a Group A community well. Therefore, enhanced treatment is required, and treatment will be provided via a bioretention cell meeting the criteria of the 2022 drainage design manual or an approved equal, like a proprietary structure, if that became necessary. Flow control, this project will generate more than 10,000 square feet of impervious surfaces and is therefore subject to flow control. Flow control will be provided by infiltrating 100% of tributary runoff in either the on-site bioretention cell or individual downspout infiltration trenches where lot size allows. Runoff from the site will be reduced from the pre-developed condition, meeting the criteria of flow control. Conveyance system. So conveyance will be provided via catch basins and stormwater piping in the proposed rights of way and private tracts.
Thank you.
So I'd like to speak a little bit to the Capital Land Trust comments. When I look at the comment letter, there was a few items that were somewhat specific. And that was that there was a lack of riparian vegetation. And that was noted in the testimony earlier and in the staff report, the attachments. This, with approval of this proposal, will actually be enhancing that vegetation along that riparian area with the mitigation that will be implemented as part of the reasonable use exception. So we actually will be improving riparian vegetation. Number two, protection of hillsides. We are not making any proposal or suggestion that there will be any impact on hillsides. The hillsides are all being protected. There is no development activity planned within any areas of hillsides. And they didn't, they noted no removal of trees or vegetation in the lowlands. Again, we don't have any plans to remove any trees or vegetation within the lowlands. In fact, this plan proposes to enhance the vegetation in those areas. And then they suggested planting some additional vegetation in the lowland areas, which is exactly what we're proposing to do. So we don't believe there's anything anything more that should be required of this project. I think the project will enhance the riparian area and preserve intact of those areas in perpetuity, because it'll be designated as open space as part of the plat. And while I'm on that, all of the open space areas that have been designated on the preliminary plat will be owned and maintained and managed by the homeowners association that will be established for the community. On the shed, it is 4,803 square feet based on our measurements. This shed or ag building, as it has probably been used, previous owner constructed that, we believe, probably in excess of 10 years ago. We and Evergreen Heights, Rob Rice, actually had no idea when he acquired this property that was a non-permitted structure. We absolutely had no knowledge of that. It came as a huge surprise when the county alerted us to that. We looked at some different ways to address it. I mean, it's a significant enough structure. It's not like you can just move it. It is 4,800 square feet. It would cause more destruction to the riparian area and the nearby landslide hazard area to remove it. And so it seems like in this particular situation, the best remedy is to leave it. And so what we looked at was, is there an innocent purchaser clause here that we could pursue? That wasn't necessarily the perfect way to approach it. We decided to pursue a reasonable use exception. In doing that, we could enhance the riparian area and maybe create a win-win for everybody here without having to destroy or demolish a structure that would actually cause damage to the environment, we believe. And instead of doing that, we're going to enhance the shoreline. We think it ends up with a better solution in the end. The exhibit attachment U shows those areas. It's 204 square feet of encroachment into the landslide hazard buffer. There is a geotechnical assessment that states that 204 square feet of encroachment will not have any impact on the stability of the slope. The riparian area, the structure is within the riparian buffer area, but this proposal only proposes to reduce that riparian buffer area to the minimum extent necessary, which is within the outer half of that riparian buffer, which is permitted by code. And those lines are shown. It's a bit confusing on that attachment U, but the riparian area is the line marked as number 6. I've drawn a modified riparian line, which is identified as number 11 on that sketch. And so that, and the lot numbers have changed, obviously. It says lot 23 is where the shed is, but it's really lot 25. The lot to the north is shown as 22, but it's really 24 if you compare those to the preliminary plat map. So we believe that this proposal and the mitigation that's been proposed to mitigate for the riparian buffer are adequate adequate mitigation for that. So with the approved project, the at time of final plat, or I should say at the time of building permits, this project will contribute approximately $125,000 in traffic mitigation. Traffic study was not done, but that doesn't relieve the applicant from paying regional traffic mitigation during the building permit stage. The nearest intercity transit stop is about a half a mile north on Old Highway 99 and at Old Highway 99 and Tomar Boulevard. So transit service is not available currently to this site. Project will contribute approximately $45,000 to the Thurston County Parks Regional Park System during building permit phase. And the project will contribute approximately $130,000 in school impact fees, again, at the time of building permits. With that, I will just add that we reviewed the recommended conditions of approval in the staff report, and the applicant concurs with conditions 1 through 57.
Great. A couple of questions for you, sir, or for your team. Can you clarify for me what is in the Olympic pipeline adjacent to lots 1 through 11?
That's an underground buried gas line within that area. They have an easement within that tract, and it's identified as triangle number 2 in the legend on the preliminary plat map.
Yes. Is that a natural gas pipeline?
Yes.
Thank you.
And it crosses, I should say, it runs down into the lowland and actually crosses the river.
Thank you. So I understand that the area to the west of the proposed plat is an active gravel mine?
In the north half of the plat, it is an active gravel mine, to my understanding.
So closest to lots 8 through 11?
Yes. Yeah.
Well,
it's their property.
It's closest to 8 through 11, but I don't think it's, I wouldn't say it's close, but.
No, I'm just trying to understand. Planning staff's recommendation, there was a discussion about the incompatible use buffer, how it does not apply per Tumwater code. However, the uses, that property is industrially zoned and somewhat industrially used. Staff was suggesting that a 6-foot fence be required, but asked whether the hearing examiner felt more screening was required. So that's the conversation I want to have with you, sir. Do you think that a 6-foot solid wood fence would adequately screen residential uses on lots 1 through 11 from that offsite industrial area, or would additional landscaping like a tall hedge benefit those lots to the extent that it should be imposed?
So I'm hearing that gravel mine might not be actually active, but it looks active on the aerial photograph. But I think an 8-foot, or what did you say, 6-foot fence, I think would be adequate. And we don't oppose the 6-foot fence along the west line of lots 1 through 7 as well.
Thank you. Okay. Can you confirm for me, are there any improvements at all proposed within 200 feet of the ordinary high water mark of the river?
No, there are no improvements planned within the riparian area of the river.
That's what I thought.
The riparian buffer, which is 250 feet.
I apologize for that. I forgot to unplug it. Sir, could you please provide some testimony explaining what active recreation? So you had said in your testimony earlier, you said that large open grass area has always been used for recreation, and you anticipate that future residents would continue to use it. And they could do, excuse me one second, please, I'm going to unplug the chime because apparently it's going to continue to go off. Pardon me. Terribly sorry about that. So I'm looking for information about what, if any, recreation amenities are going to be proposed in terms of like recreational access to the from the improved area to the unimproved area that is proposed as active/passive open space. Will there be any trails built, any parking areas, any sort of improvements at all to facilitate or encourage recreational use?
So if we could go to the preliminary plat map, are we able to pull that up?
I can't, in a minute. Although it's not legible on here either.
Well, we need a legible one.
Yeah, the one attachment J wasn't legible.
Kind of shows it there. It'd be the last submittal, maybe. Stand by.
I'm standing by. Thank you.
Okay.
Let me share and I have to rotate. Don't have to rotate. Just
let me zoom in up by lot 12.
It did that to me when I first loaded it too, but then it does then it does fully load.
Okay. We want to try to rotate it or work from there.
Let's work from here.
Okay, we're going to work from here. So north, and this viewport is to the left on the screen.
Yes.
And Chloe, can you run the cursor over the existing trail? Okay, so there's an existing trail in the area that Chloe is running the cursor that runs down to that open active passive area. And
okay.
So the residents of the subdivision would simply access that area from the eastern terminus of Road B as in boy, okay, and follow the trail to the top of the bluff area. You can see that trail runs if it's a historic trail that was probably cut in 20 years ago when they used the field for farming or whatever.
Probably built the pipeline
and probably still built the pipeline maybe yeah. And so they will just continue to use that. Pedestrians will use that existing trail. There won't be any construction needed or required in order to provide access down to that lower area.
Great. Can you tell me what type of surface that existing trail has?
It's a gravel surface.
It is gravel. Thank you. I was also curious, the plat map that I have at attachment J, and I assume that you have it because I assume that the applicant or the county got it from you. It shows that trail with a certain kind of marking. There's a whole lot of other markings on the plat. It looks like there is a road entering the site from old Highway 99 that goes through lots, proposed lots 19, 20, and 21, and then into lot 24. And yeah, the trail extends from the end of that road?
It does, but that portion of the trail would not be used.
That would be removed, correct? That existing road's gonna be removed as the plat's developed?
Yes, exactly. In fact, the new access for lot 22 will come from the...
I think that's 24 now.
Oh, excuse me. You're looking at an old plat map. I'm sorry. This is an old map, but it says 22, but on the official plat map, that's lot 24. Okay.
Understood.
So that lot with the existing home, the access will come off of the eastern end of track D near the corner of lot 19.
Got it.
And will be built outside the 250-foot riparian area.
Got it.
There's a sliver of ground in there where that driveway can be built and will match in with the existing driveway. Everything else associated with that driveway that provides access to that existing home where lots, where I'll show 17, 18 on the one we're looking at, that'll be removed along with that dotted line in the back of, the back of that existing home lot.
Great. And hopefully then there's also, clear. I'm sorry.
Hopefully I was clear.
No, I think I followed that. And also there's a small driveway accessing the structure to be retained in proposed lot 11. And presumably all of the improvements for that will also be removed as the lots and the roadway are built.
Yeah, that all of that will be removed.
All right. I think those were the only questions I had for the applicants.
I would just add one other item that I meant to mention and I did not. There might be some references in some of the older documents that that someday maybe the shed would be converted into some sort of a residence or something like that. We've abandoned that plan. It will just remain as a shed. And if you look to the west of the shed, between the shed and lot 23 of the official preliminary plat map, you'll see an area that is not encumbered by any buffers, including the 250-foot riparian buffer. That is the future home site for that lot.
For lot 25?
Yes. Yes, 25.
Great, great. Thanks, that's helpful too, because I didn't think to ask.
I think that concludes everything I've got.
Let me just take a couple of notes. And with that, I think we'll be ready to go for public comment, but I need to take a few notes. Just give me 1 second. Miss Katie, can you help me find out if there's anybody in the meeting who wants to provide public comments?
We do not have any members of the public in attendance.
That's right. Okay. Let me go back to Ms. Tchaikovsky. There was an outstanding code citation you were looking for me. Did you find that?
I did look through, and the section I was considering is actually in the wetlands chapter. So not directly applicable to the riparian habitat buffer. Okay. Otherwise, I was looking at some of the provisions within when we're allowed to reduce the riparian habitat area. And I think I already made reference to those within the report.
Great. Thank you. Any other testimony or comments in response to the applicant's presentation?
No.
Thank you. And let me just check with other county staff, anything to add at this point? No. Mr. Sain, anything to add at this point? Thank you. Appreciate it. Applicants, I don't have any other questions. Any other testimony you want to make before we close the record?
We have no further testimony.
All right, Ms. Katie, I think that I'm looking for Very few documents. I think the only one Mr. Pantier submitted, Exhibit 2, the civil plan set. It includes
That's
a
all I
landscape
have.
plan, and that's the only one, correct?
That's all I have too, yes.
Thank you. All right, that just needs to be provided to me within the next couple of business days. With that, we are concluded. I don't have other questions. We'll close the record. As the applicant is familiar with, I will be holding the record open for two business days to allow post-hearing public comment in writing from anybody who had technology problems that prevented their participation today. That means the record is held open through June 27. If we get none, the record closes on the 27th and the decision becomes due on July 12th. If we did receive post-hearing public comment, it would presumably go to either Ms. Tchaikovsky or Ms. Katie. It would be forwarded to the applicant. And to me, staff and the applicant would be requested to respond in writing. You also have two business days, which means your responses are due July 1 and the decision becomes due July 16. And of course, those dates are all based on the July 4th holiday. I will send this schedule in writing to Ms. Katie. She can forward it to you and cause it to be posted online. Thanks very much, everybody, for your work. And I look forward to issuing you a timely decision in this application.
Thank you.
Have a good day.